go to our TMDL status report, item number 13.
Right. And before you start, Chris, I'll just remind the board that, as I said, and others in the audience, that I mentioned at the start of the meeting that we do have a supplemental sheet for this item. And it's a December 9th letter from Grower Shipper. And then also, I mentioned that there was an email from Mr. Fenton, which in which he mentioned both items 13 and 14. So I think I, well, it depends on where you filed that in your binders, but there are comments from Mr. Fenton on both items.
Okay.
And Chris Rose is prepared our report today. Chris?
All right. Thank you very much. When I last gave a status report, Ms. Hunter, you asked that I include a table of all the TMDLs that we've been in development with and that we've gotten approved. So I've included that this time for the status report for you. And as Mr. Briggs mentioned, we did get a comment from Mr. Richard Quant, who is from Grower Shipper. And I'm going to just paraphrase his comments essentially. He said that the watershed approach of doing TMDLs, where we essentially take all of the constituents in a watershed that it's impaired for and put it in one TMDL, is complex, and therefore, if we're going to move forward with doing TMDLs this way, he would highly recommend that we engage in stakeholder involvement, of course, and then give the stakeholders a schedule, and we agree with that, and we intend to do that. Another one of his comments was that he said that in our staff report, it seems that staff is implying that specific best management practices will be given to individuals to implement the master implementation plan, but that's actually a misinterpretation. Our intent is not to essentially divvy out specific best management practices to individuals in any implementation plan. We might give recommendations, but that is not our intent. And then also, he didn't want the TMDL process to usurp the agricultural order the egg order renewal. And I want to assure the board that the TMDL process is not going to be usurping that process at all. As a matter of fact, we are coordinating with the agricultural program, and we're moving together in sync. And then finally, Mr. Quant recommended that we not use 13267 letters in requiring dischargers and TMDLs to do monitoring. And he was specifically talking about the master implementation plan with respect to the Santa Maria Watershed TMDL. And it is not our intent to give all of the implementing parties 13267 letters. That is, it's a vehicle that we could use, but essentially we will be using other things like the egg waiver as well as permits. So that was essentially his comments, and those are our responses. And now I am available for any questions you might have.
Any board questions for staff? Okay, thank you. I do have three speaker cards on this item. Kay Mercer, then Carrie Fisher, followed by Melissa Lockie.
Hello, I'm Kay Mercer, and I'm with the Central Coast Ag Water Quality Coalition. I appreciate the opportunity to make comments on the Santa Maria TMDL in particular. First of all, I want to say that when the Santa Maria TMDL process began, the coalition actually recommended to staff that there be some consolidation, largely because we were looking at our own resources, and it would be very difficult to address them one by one. However, I am concerned at the scope of the consolidation that is recommended. I can see consolidating where we have constituents that have very similar implementation plans or similar communities are involved, similar stakeholders are involved. But to consolidate all of the constituents into one TMDL, I think will be completely unmanageable in terms of, particularly if we don't have sufficient time to review the data. So a lot of the ability to handle that TMDL will go to the public process itself, and just how much time stakeholders are given to provide feedback and input. Second concern that I have about the TMDL is, in general, not just about this Santa Maria, but is about TMDLs. There is a real discrepancy in how TMDLs are handled from watershed to watershed. I've had the opportunity to attend multiple stakeholder meetings in multiple watersheds. For example, the South Coast Santa Barbara bacterial TMDL, they're being allowed 2 years just to scope the TMDL, whereas this TMDL, they're putting this massive consolidation together. We have lots of questions about what this means. Are we going to go back to the very beginning and re-scope and have public process on the project definition? Or are we going to, the project definitions that have already been scoped, are those going to just be rolled together into one consolidation? A lot of concerns and questions about what this means, and a lot of concerns about the differences in how staff are interacting with different communities in different watersheds. The third thing is, the coalition's concerned about the public process. We're concerned that the stakeholders are not being given adequate time to have feedback into the process. The staff report itself says in the Santa Maria River Watershed TMDL, the status is TMDL program staff are coordinating with other programs. I've been to all the public hearings. We haven't had one for almost a year. We've had no feedback at the basically no stakeholder input in almost a year into this TMDL. We have asked the TMDL staff to make presentations in the Santa Maria watershed. We had a meeting in September. They declined. We've asked staff to come in. The coalition has offered to host staff to come in and talk to the coalition, both in Santa Maria and up in the Salinas Valley, about their new watershed approach to enforcement into TMDLs, and the delays in their response is essentially the same thing as declining to participate or provide feedback to the stakeholders. So I am concerned about how staff is interacting with the stakeholders on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Would you like to comment at all upon?
Sure, I can do it individually. We have three comment cards, you said?
Yeah, two more.
Okay, two more. Okay.
But I'd like to hear a response
from staff. Sure, yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. And thank you for your comments, Ms. Mercer. Her first comment was she's concerned, or they are concerned about how manageable a watershed TMDL will be, and that it might be a bit confusing, and that they can understand perhaps how we would do a TMDL between pollutants that are related to each other. I understand that concern, and I appreciate that. At the same time, it's interesting to us that we have been to many stakeholder meetings, and the watershed approach has been an approach that has been prompted by stakeholders. Stakeholders have actually asked us essentially to take on this approach, and I think that the reason that they've asked us to do that is because rather than us doing a TMDL, let's say now, for a couple of pollutants, and then another TMDL 2 years from now, and another TMDL 2 years from now, and another TMDL 2 years from that, we are, instead of giving them what they need to do piecemeal, they want it all at once so they can plan for the future. And so I think that the comments that we've been hearing in the past about having a watershed TMDL, they were justified, and there were reasons for it, and we're trying to address those reasons now by giving them basically a plan in a watershed of how they can plan for the future for all the pollutants together. So we thought that we were responding to comments that we've had previously from stakeholders regarding how we approach TMDL development. And we think it's a good approach. I don't think it's going to be so confusing that it's going to be ununderstandable. Yes, there are relationships between a lot of pollutants, and there are not relationships between some of the pollutants. And at the same time, some of the people who will be responsible for some of the pollutants will also be responsible for other pollutants that are not related to the first batch. So there is really good reason for moving forward with a watershed TMDL. It has been something that stakeholders have asked us to do for their planning.
Are you considering allowing more time for public comment and participation in this process? Because from what I heard, it sounded like this has become a very large, possibly cumbersome TMDL that has thrown the net over a very large area.
Right.
And it's going to take more time and resources for the stakeholders to dig in, analyze it, be able to comment.
Sure, sure. To back up just a hair, we were pursuing the nutrient TMDL in the Santa Maria watershed, and at the same time it was at that time last year when the ag order was when the agricultural order was needed to be renewed, and we felt that the stakeholders were getting a lot all at once, and so we basically paused that TMDL, and we felt that the stakeholders appreciated that. Okay, so at the same time, the integrated list, the new 2008 integrated list was being developed, and we have a lot of new listings in the Santa Maria watershed. As you know, this was on the July agenda, and so taking stakeholders' concern and the fact that we have a new 303D list with a lot of new listings, we thought that the watershed approach would be a good approach to take in this watershed. That being said, we've never done one. In fact, very few states have ever done a TMDL like this. We're really embarking on something new here, and so we want to get it right. So before we would go to stakeholders a month after we make this decision to pursue even looking at this, we wanted to make sure that we were planning right and that we're getting our ducks in a row before we would essentially be telling them what our plan was. So to answer your question, yes, we plan on engaging in the public process, but we didn't want to do that before, frankly, we met with this board and before we met internally and before we had a plan of how we were going to move forward.
Okay. Go ahead. Did you have other comments?
Also Ms. Mercer's response about are we going back to the beginning or what? That is what we plan on discussing at our next stakeholder meeting, which we intend to have in the next 2 months. Again, we wanted to come to this hearing first, and we've been in planning mode before we did that. Public process of concern. I think we've addressed that. Yes, we know very well that we need to have a good public process as we move forward with this TMDL. We're very well aware of that. We appreciate the comment and we plan on implementing that.
Okay. All right. Mr. O'Malley.
Thank you. Well, I did have some concerns. It does seem like taking a watershed approach does make sense. And it is, however, a pretty large endeavor. Few states have done it. We haven't done it before. And it sounds like there's been a period where constituents and stakeholders haven't been sure what your intentions are or what the process is going to be. And I'm wondering if there, what kind of dialogue there has been, or do you think we could do better in terms of, you know, if there hasn't been any dialogue for a year, as was said in one direction about it, how have you kept folks informed that this is going to be a different process and there will be time for input? Have you had that opportunity?
Sure. Thank you for your question. We began this process actually with the new integrated list, which is the new 303D list. And in April of 2008, we let the stakeholders know, and Ms. Mercer was there, that we were going to be looking at the possibility of doing a watershed TMDL in the Santa Maria watershed. That was April of 2008. So we began the discussion at that time. Moving forward, how we can go about informing stakeholders. If Ms. Mercer's comments are genuine, which I'm sure they are, that they feel that they are in the dark about how we are moving forward, then obviously, then yes, we can do a better job of doing that. And perhaps the form that we can do that in is the stakeholder meeting that I'm suggesting in the next couple of months. In addition to that, we keep our website, the TMDL program website, current, so that that's all anybody needs to do is go to our website, look at the TMDL program, and they can see what is on our work plan this year. Our work plan goes from July 1 through June 30th of the following year. So if you're ever in question about what we are working on this fiscal year, go to our website.
Well, I've heard you state today that we felt, meaning Water Board staff, the stakeholders wanted this approach, and we felt, meaning Water Board staff, appreciated that approach. But I've heard from them they don't feel like they've been included. Have you heard before this time that they, that maybe what you thought they felt was different? Have you had conversations similar than we've heard today that they haven't felt included?
Just so I understand your question, is what you are asking essentially, have we heard this comment before?
Yes. Have you, you understand that they don't feel that they've been included in this discussion up to this point?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we've had this discussion before about this very topic, even at stakeholder meetings, which is interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Carrie Fisher. And then Melissa Lockie.
Good morning. Carrie Fisher with the California Farm Bureau Federation. I agree with many of the comments raised by Kay Mercer. I appreciate some of the clarification by staff. However, we still feel that, as currently proposed, this scope of a watershed TMDL is way too complex. You're talking about 89 different pollutant combinations. Just even tackling that in your brain, let alone thinking about the amount of paperwork that you're going to read to figure this out, is unmanageable, complex. There's a lot of concerns we have, lack of information. So far, we don't see coming from staff on how this will work. What exactly is the stakeholder process? Holding a meeting now and then isn't enough. How are you going to interact with EPA? And how is this technical TMDL, so-called throwing some words out there, what do those words really mean, and how it will actually be effective to be implemented on the ground? Thank you.
So a quick question for you. What recommendations, and maybe you've spoken to Kay before about this, to staff, do you have in terms of making the TMDL more manageable? Have you thought about that?
Well, grouping 89 is just beyond.
I understand that. Is there some rational way to break it down, but still incorporates the watershed concept?
Right. You can still do a watershed-based TMDL, but break it down more in like pollutants or like nutrients and have a couple different TMDLs. I don't know if you want four or five, whatever it needs to be, rather than one huge one.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Question.
Sure.
That was the same one.
Melissa Lockie.
Before Melissa gets started, I'll point out that I provided, Melissa provided a handout, a PDF for me. I, in turn, had that printed out and provided it to you, but I put it in, I think, the public forum item. We talked, and Melissa wasn't sure whether she'd be addressing TMDLs or not. So anyway, you have the handout there, and Harvey, I have that on the desktop. If you could assist with putting that up on the screen, please.
My name is Hugh. Is asking.
If you can't find it, it's okay.
Put on that.
I can show one of them. You all have it, so it's not a big deal.
Oh, that one.
The color.
It would be nice to put it up for the folks in the room.
Color one.
Super clear, but that's okay. I'd like to thank the board for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Melissa Locke, and I represent the San Luis Obispo Science and Ecosystem Alliance. You may know us as SLOSI. I'm here today to recommend a new TMDL and to highlight the need to regulate a contaminant of emerging concern known as nonylphenol. Nonylphenol is known to cause liver cancer and gonadal tumors in fish such as arrow gobies, salmon, and trout. This chemical is also troubling because of its endocrine disrupting properties, causing male fish to become female or possess both male and female reproductive organs, thus disrupting fish populations and fishery health. Research conducted by our scientists has shown that out of over 25 contaminants measured in Morro Bay, nonylphenol is by far the most prevalent. Visible liver tumors were present in an average of 6% of the samples. Moreover, even where visible tumors were not present, all the samples tested showed abnormal liver pathology signaling cancer. In 2006, over 600,000 tons of nonylphenol were used in products such as pesticides, herbicides, detergents, moisturizing creams, contraceptives, and paper. In fact, pesticides containing nonylphenol as a surfactant are the most used by acreage in California, thus allowing large amounts of this toxic chemical to directly enter into our food and groundwater supplies. Other suspected sources of nonylphenol include non-point sources, septic systems, and wastewater treatment plants. You can see on the handout here, there's a septic system in Los Osos, and our studies done in California Men's Colony. At the Los Osos septic system, we found over 5 million parts per billion of nonylphenol. This is really high considering Canada's TMDLs are set around 10 parts per billion for organism health. In another study at the California Men's Colony, measurements of nonylphenol in sediment above the outfall weren't detectable, but below the outfall, Toral Creek sediment levels were over 600 parts per billion. Okay, thanks. Go ahead. And right there at the top, you can see a picture of an arrow goby before and after liver dissection. That's a liver tumor that we suspect is being caused by nonylphenol. And the bottom right-hand corner are the pathways of nonylphenol throughout the estuary. While nonylphenol effects on humans are not yet known, it is not beyond belief to consider this chemical hazardous to our health. In 2000, the European Union placed nonylphenol on a priority hazardous substance list and has since adopted very strict regulations on its uses and even its marketing. Especially concerning is the suspicion that it bioaccumulates up the food chain. We've even measured nonylphenol in our human food supply. We've seen 203 parts per billion to 368 parts per billion in oysters commercially farmed in Morro Bay, Drake's Bay, and in Oregon. Although we believe this contaminant should eventually be completely banned, we believe that one important step in protecting human health and our environment is to set a TMDL for this chemical and the water bodies in which it's found, including 303D listings. We request that the board consider this in its TMDL review process. Additionally, in order to better understand sources of nonylphenol, we request that the board consider adding nonylphenol monitoring requirements to NPDES permits. Together with these efforts will lead to reducing the amount of nonylphenol in the environment and its eventual elimination. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. I've never heard of this chemical before. Is anyone else on the board?
No, it might be helpful for Melissa to just in a minute or two talk about why SLOC had a research program in place and
sure.
identified this particular, because this is something we're benefiting from in our region. SLOC is kind of setting up a model for the way in which research can actively look at hotspots and begin to contribute information, feeding it back into regulatory and other resource agencies. So we're very fortunate to have Melissa here today.
Thank you very much, Dr. Hunter. So SLOC was actually just doing a study of contaminants in the bay itself just to see what was out there, to see what we should be concerned about. We weren't looking at nonylphenol at first, but when we sent out all these samples of arrow goby livers in the whole fish itself, what we came back with, if you see in the upper left-hand corner there, we saw DDE, DDD, PCBs, and those are actually not bad levels for our area. Those are they're safe, not great, but safe. All the metals were below harmful levels. Everything else out of over 25 contaminants that were tested were not detectable. But then when we found this nonylphenol was at 716 parts per billion. And while we're doing the sampling, we're seeing liver tumors, these huge liver tumors there that you saw in the picture. And we're trying to figure out where is this coming from. We did some just, you know, surveys around the area, and other people were seeing these tumors. So that's when we started really focusing in on nonylphenol and looking at literature already out there. And we're seeing that it is a big problem up and down the coast. And Canada, like I said, Canada has already set their version of a TMDL. The EU has banned nonylphenol from the consumer marketplace. It is used in some industrial uses, but they're definitely trying to eliminate it. And then when you look in the, so then we started looking at the sewer systems and seeing something like 5 million parts per billion in a sewer system in Los Osos, where sludge hasn't been pumped for 8 years, is really concerning, especially if we take that sludge and start dumping it on agriculture, for using it for agricultural uses. We're dumping extremely high levels of nonylphenol right into our food systems. So we've actually been working with SCWRPS and the Southern California Coastal Water Research Project. They're considering adding it to the contaminants of emerging concern list for the Blue Ribbon Task Force that was just established. And we're working with them to continue the research here on the Central Coast and hopefully be part of their project. Mm. Any other questions? Is that a good background there?
Thank you very much.
Sure, no problem.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So, Chris, what is... I guess this is kind of a request then to consider this.
Well, it just so happens that we, in the next month or two, we are entering into the solicitation period for the next three or three D list. So Mary Adams is our staff here at the Water Board, and you may know Mary. So talk to Mary. We have different categories for what we list for, obviously. Right. Nonylphenol is not on that list. However, we have other – it's a very broad list, such as toxicity and so forth. So if you have data, submit the data, and if it meets the criteria, then it can get listed. Once it's listed, once it's on the 303D list, then we have to respond to it.
Right.
So that data solicitation period begins mid-January. Okay.
Good. Thank you very much. All right. Any other board comments or questions? Okay. Thank you, Chris.
Yep.
Roger? We're done with 13?
Yeah, I'll just as a follow-up comment, though.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'll just point out that a lot of the best management practices that we're talking about with any kind of runoff from whether it's agricultural lands or urban lands, even though we don't know that much about this contaminant, but considering what it's associated with as an emulsifier with pesticides, to the extent that we can reduce runoff associated with pesticides, then we should see reductions of nonylphenol as well. So it's one of those things where it's another contaminant that is widespread, and it could be that the best that we can do are some of the same best management practices that we're pursuing to protect our waterways and our groundwater already.
Okay.
And